Greetings, this is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. This show is about supporting you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. This includes letting the body lead, so your mind doesn't have to. Habits into Health covers a big topic, and it applies to situations that may seem small to others, but probably not to you. And it can also include problems that are larger than life, or even life-destroying. An example of the first case is maybe you're having a hard time losing those last few pounds, but your friends or your partner are content with where you are. They're not pushing, but maybe they're also not as supportive as you'd like. On the other end of the continuum, maybe your drinking has led to something worse than just embarrassing yourself at a party. Like a drunk driving arrest, for instance. Either way, and in between, in this show we enter the doorway to personal change by supporting you in knowing your true timing and rhythm. We do that with a unique perspective that brings the body to the foreground in the path to change. Because you really can't change what you don't know. In this episode, we're going to talk about how you can enter what I call the living laboratory. I'll talk more about this after we take a moment to experience it in a sensory way. Because in fact, you are always in a living laboratory. You just may not be approaching your life in this way. So before we start, let's tune into our sensory experience. This particular exercise will work best if you can be attentive rather than multitasking. It won't take very long, however. So, if you're able to take a brief break from whatever else you're doing, that would be a good thing, especially if you're riding a bike or driving a car. If you're on a walk or sitting at your desk or on public transportation, you can probably participate more easily. The first thing is to gently rub one of your thumbs on the fingertips of the same hand. It doesn't matter what hand you choose. Slowly roll your thumb over your fingertips, back and forth. You can also press your thumb onto your fingertips one by one if you'd like. Just take in the sensory experience of this. You don't need to have words to describe it, but perhaps you can feel some pressure, or maybe you're aware of heat. I feel a little tickling sensation as I'm doing it now with you. What we're doing first is just waking ourselves up to our fingertips. And then next, begin to curl your fingers together toward the palm of your hand. You can also just gently wrap your thumb over your fingers as you do this. Do it slowly so that you can attend to the changing shape of your hand as what is outside becomes an inside. This is what happens when your fingers curl in to gently touch your palm. You're creating an inner space. Get a sense of that space now inside your hand. Perhaps you feel warmth or coolness. You might have a sense of moisture or dryness. Next, press your fingers into the palm of your hand more. Say, just increase the pressure by 1%. Enough that you can feel a change in the contact between your fingers and the palm of your hand. What else do you notice from this simple increase in contact? Does something change in your wrist or up your arm? Perhaps you recognize that you've engaged some other physical part of you, somewhere else. Be attentive to that as you press your fingers to the palm of your hand a little bit more. Let's call this 2%. What else changes in you? Do you find yourself thinking about something, whether it's directly related to this exercise or not? Sometimes people will report memories that spontaneously come up, or feelings and emotions. This becomes a part of your experiment. Now soften the pressure, taking your fingertips back a bit to the first level, that 1% level, and hold it there for a minute. What is it like when you do this? What occurs? How does your wrist shift its involvement? What do you notice in your arm or anywhere else? Do you become aware of other adjustments as you disorganize one level and drop back to another? Sometimes it's easier to recognize more when you decrease the pressure than you recognized when you increased it. Some people express that. So just notice. Other physical layers may come to your attention that you hadn't noticed before. This is letting your body present itself. You don't have to fix or correct anything. If you've visited this show before, you know that from time to time, I will invite you to notice something in the moment. The first step in creating change is just noticing what is, because how can you change something if you don't know what it is that you're doing? We may think we know what we're doing, but most of the time, we don't slow ourselves down enough to recognize all the complexities of our behavior. Noticing is not simply a cognitive process. It calls for listening to your physical experience. This is developing a different kind of skill, and you're attending to what may seem on the surface to be insignificant, but it's actually a rich, extensive sensory process that presents itself cell to cell, organ to organ, layer to layer, body to its brain and back. The thing is, you probably know what you need to do to lose those extra few pounds. Or in the other example that I mentioned earlier, you're probably well aware that your drinking is getting out of hand, and you'd be better off if you cut back, at the least. Whatever it is that your habit is, whatever it is that you want to change, you may know what you need to do. In our brains, we know what to do. The puzzle is that all this knowledge, all this insight, doesn't lead to change all by itself. Something else is called for. If there were practical steps for growing new possibilities that you never thought you would be capable of, wouldn't you want to try them out? I think you would, because you're listening to this episode. Let's talk about our topic, which is taking on the attitude of being a scientist in your own laboratory. And by the way, let me remind you that you're listening to Habits Into Health, where we are exploring 21st century approaches to personal growth and habit change. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you can find out more at habitsintohealth.com. I used to think that the most important thing was to gather enough facts, enough information, but these days it's often hard to separate fact from fantasy. Information has become seductive, and it's only as solid as its source. Take television or the internet, for instance. If you don't watch television or go online, you don't know what's there. But once you turn on the tube or click that icon, the medium sells itself so easily. Watching one show or visiting one website leads to learning about another, and another after that. Commercials or links tell us where else to go, and before we know it, we're engaged more than we realized. Now, doesn't this sound familiar? When I was a journalist in my 20s, I thought that if we all knew what the facts were, we would all make the right decisions and create a peaceful world. Back then, and yes, I'm dating myself, it was the war between the U.S. and Vietnam. After all, once Daniel Ellsberg told the world what was going on, didn't that change everything? Not overnight, it didn't. Well, for me, after a while, I made a decision to change the direction of my life because I could see that I was heading toward a level of, some level of professional success, and yet there was a personal emptiness there. I surely didn't know where I was going and how I was going to get there, but it was a time of great fermentation around psychology and personal growth, so there was a lot of support for learning new things. I've often said that if I'd known then what I was getting into, I wouldn't have started. But we never know what's exactly going to happen, do we? At one point, I was in a deep depression. At the time, it was over the end of a relationship, but really, it was about the end of my way of relating to myself. I had reached a place where there really was no way to go but up, except that up wasn't enough. There was a part of me that was curious, not knowing how I was going to get over an enormous mountain of personal work to relieve myself of my emotional pain. Something in me wondered if I could make it over that range to the other side. Then that might be useful. Maybe in the future, there might be someone I could help. Someone else who wanted to make their own climb and needed or wanted some encouragement. At the time, I thought I was going to be a nutrition counselor. I didn't know that I was heading in a direction that would include that to some extent, but a whole lot more. But I did decide to find out how to get over that hump for myself, and along the way, I've been really lucky to be able to support others as they make their own changes. I'd like for you to have that experience for yourself as well. When people come to see me in my office, I often tell them that they have entered a living laboratory, a place where they can experiment with their own changes, a place to practice new behaviors. But this place is not just in my office, it's in their own lives. It's in your own life. You are not just the test tube in this laboratory. You are the researcher as well. You are the experiment, and you are the experimenter. Recently, a friend of mine died, and I've been thinking about him quite a bit. Bruce Baumrocker was a very special guy. He was very committed to creating community. When he was a young man, Bruce had the opportunity to study with Buckminster Fuller, the famous futurist and inventor who really helped transform humanity's way of perceiving the natural world and our place in it. Bruce loved to tell his community of friends about his experiences with Bucky. And one story he told me impacted me very much. At one point in his life, Bucky was in great despair. He had always been a misfit. When he was younger, he'd been thrown out of Harvard, twice, I think. And he was persistently unable to find work and support his family. His first daughter died at a very young age of an illness, and he fell into a deep depression that would not go away. Over time, he came to think that if he were not around, his wife and their second daughter would be better cared for by family, since he certainly wasn't doing a very good job of taking care of them himself. He decided he was such a failure that he would kill himself. Then, as Bruce would tell the story, as Bucky was preparing to plunge to his death into the freezing waters of Lake Michigan, he had a thought. Something like, I wonder if one person really makes a difference. And as so often happens, another thought followed that one. The answer was that, well, he surely didn't know. And who did? Bucky himself wrote about his realization that committing suicide was a supremely selfish mistake, because maybe there was something important about understanding the universe that somebody needed to find out. And what if he was supposed to be that someone? And so, well, why not him? So the failure, Bucky Fuller, in the moments before his death, re-entered life. He decided to enter into an experiment. He ended up calling himself Guinea Pig B, B for Bucky, to discover if one person could really make a difference. What would that person do? How would that one person act? My friend Bruce loved telling this story, and he fondly recalled his times as one of the young people who flocked to follow Bucky. Bucky did make a difference, and he started with himself. He later wrote that he didn't think he was special or different from other people. He just decided to become a scientist in his own laboratory. My friend Bruce did this in his own life as well. I'm still in my experiment, and you can be in yours. There are many approaches to habit change, to addiction recovery, to any aspect of personal growth and development. In Habits into Health, we'll draw from the wisdom and experience of others. We'll learn from research done by people who are curious about how human beings function and how we deal with problems and patterns and change. But some scientific findings may not apply to you. Our primary focus here is on supporting you in developing your own personal path to change and sharing what you're learning with everyone else who is joining in this journey. Discovering your answers from your own experiential learning is a powerful way to be the scientist in your own laboratory. And it can start as simply as this. The scientist in you can be attentive in this moment, right now, to how you feel. Then you can let that layer of you that is feeling just feel. Not analyze. Not think about, just feel. Mad, sad, bad, glad. It's not just words, it's energy. Light, tense, energized, embarrassed, afraid, joyful. These are all words that are an attempt to describe energy. My words don't matter for you. Your words do. This feeling is here in you. Let it present itself, even if you don't like it. Where do you experience sensation right now? What part of you, I'll use the term geography, what part of your geography do you feel? Where do you feel something? Anything. Attending to your process, to to this living laboratory is not a passive experience. When a feeling washes over you, you have a choice about whether you ignore it, whether you shut it down, whether you over-dramatize it, or just ride the wave of it. In your living laboratory, you get to play like a scientist works with an experiment. Oh, if I do it this way, what happens? Next, I'll try this and watch for the results. For example, you might ask yourself, if I step back from eating that cookie, what occurs? If I eat two, what happens then? If I don't drink tonight, how will I feel about myself tomorrow? If I approach my partner with anger, what happens? If I work with my anger in myself and then approach my partner, what happens then? First, what happens in me? In fact, adjusting something in yourself may not change the outcome, but it can impact how you feel about yourself, regardless of what another person does or regardless of the external situation that you're in. These are all very real issues in life, and I believe you deserve to find your answers, not someone else's, yours, and to find your answers in your own timing and your own rhythm. In other shows, I'll bring in more of this perspective and other ways to support you in creating a plan that works for you and supporting your change of habit. I'll draw from all of the resources I've gathered over the last 30 years, and I invite you to share yours. We're all in this together. So I welcome your questions and your comments at habitsintohealth.com. Everyone can benefit from what you're learning. So come to the site and share your comments. And you can also find some articles and other resources that I hope will be helpful. You've been listening to Habits Into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining.